fully active. If it felt like we disappeared, then I'm here to disappoint you. We are fully back and we are fully active. Yes, this is Pen Plus Bites and My Own Knowledge Hub podcast, and welcome to season 3. We only took a break to re-strategize, to refine, and to make sure that we continue to be the hub for media and information literacy education. Today, we want to look at how AI is shaping media and content creation, especially here in Ghana.
But the thing is, you know, AI it hallucinates a lot, you know, and it has some kind of energy be like, even if it is wrong, it will, like, the energy to tell you it is right, you will believe.
If you use AI to create content, verify it. AI can help you create the content, but doesn't mean that it's factual. You need to take your time to humanize, to verify the content that you are putting out there.
If you are a journalist out there and you are working or you are putting content out there, when it backfires, we are not going to look for ChatGPT
to be asking.
you are the one responsible.
So it's just best that we do our possible best to verify and make sure we cross all the T's.
Exactly. Sometimes it doesn't even pause. If you are reading AI generated content, you can't even breathe before the full stop comes. AI is there to support our thinking, not to do the thinking for us.
So generative AI is actually the ChatGPT, the Claude, you go in, hey, what is this, what is that? It gives you the response, right? Yes, because it's being trained on something.
Fully active. If it felt like we disappeared, then I'm here to disappoint you. We are fully back and we are fully active. Yes, this is Pen Plus Bites and My Own Knowledge Hub podcast, and welcome to season 3. We only took a break to re-strategize, to refine, and to make sure that we continue to be the hub for media and information literacy education. Welcome to season 3. And we are looking forward to new content, new perspectives, new voices, real-world conversations on how best we can arm ourselves with skills to navigate the information space. I am Manuel, and I feel privileged to return again as host for Pen Plus Bites and My Own Knowledge Hub podcast. Let's take a quick breather, and we'll set the ball rolling. Right, let me say thank you to DW Academy and the German Corporation for holding us down for 3 good seasons. We appreciate your support so much. And today we want to look at how AI is shaping media and content creation, especially here in Ghana. Regardless of the sector you find yourself in, AI has become a force to reckon with. And so today we want to look at all that there is to know. Most often we picture AI as something that is distorting our information space. Of course it is, but also there are positives. There are a few things we can pick up from AI, how we can leverage on these tools to make our lives better. And so I've been joined by 2 amazing guests. I have John works with the Anansi AI, and Rebecca is an MIL expert with Pen Plus Byte. Lady and gentlemen, you are welcome.
Thank you very much.
This is MIL Knowledge Hub podcast. Here our focus is training, equipping young people, empowering them with the needed information and skills so that they can navigate the information space.
Thank you for having us.
Right.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here this morning.
Definitely. AI. Are we living in a world of AI? Rebecca?
Yes, I think you mentioned that in your introduction.
Okay.
That we are actually living in the world of AI. which everyone has to embrace, because you can't say, I don't want to be part of it. We all have to be part of the journey of AI, embracing AI. Yeah.
Speaking about the journey and embracing AI, are we fully prepared? Like, are we fully active in the AI era? John?
So I would say, like, in Ghanaian perspective, I think we are, right? You know, in the previous years, something new will come up and they will build it outside there and they will bring it to us to use. But this is the time that something new came up and you feel like Ghana is part, right? We are actually involved. Ownership. We are creating something out of the AI. So we are not just consumers, but we are actually creators of AI.
Right. On the note of creators, today we want to look at generative AI and how we can make positive use of them in terms of content creation, in terms of helping us to deliver our tasks, regardless of the field we find ourselves in. But in simple terms, someone is asking, what is generative AI?
Okay, so let me start from here, right?
Okay.
You know, initially it was, we have a traditional machine learning, right? So you train a model to do something for you, predicting something, recommendation and stuff, you know. And then came a time where we were able to not necessarily training the model to give us a prediction or recommendation, but give us a content, right? You prompt it, you give it with something, a plain English words, and the system is able to understand and provide output for you, right?
Okay.
So from there, then we came to generative AI, you know.
Okay.
So it based on LLMs, you know, LLMs are being trained with
large language models,
right?
Right.
Being trained with a lot of data, right? Mm-hmm. With huge parameters in it, you know. Mm-hmm. So generative AI generates its content or whatever it is from the LLM based on the data it's being trained on, you understand?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So, and let me also clarify on this. You know, we have generative AI, we have AI agent, and we have agentic AI. You know,
AI agent, agentic AI.
Right. So generative AI is actually what you know, the ChatGPT, mm-hmm. the Claude. You go in, hey, what is this? What is that? Mm. It gives you the response, right?
True.
Yes, because it's being trained on something, you know. Then it goes to a time, you got right now, you know, most of the models were being trained in 2025. You don't have the recent data, 2026, you know.
Okay.
So if you tell it to give you something today, it will fail you, right? So that is why the AI agent came in. So the agent is able to use tools, right? Tools like the browser, the web search, to fetch data for a recent current date,
so more,
you know,
like
a real time
sort of.
Something, you okay. know. Uh-huh. So that's when the AI agent came in.
Okay.
And then there was a case where we were like, okay, so how about having multiple agents doing something at the same time? Mm-hmm. So a typical example is about our content creation, right?
True.
So let me use my use case. You know, I like talking about what I've used. That might makes it more practical,
yeah.
right?
Exactly.
So I have this Hermes agent, okay? It used to be OpenClaw, but I switched to Hermes. So I have one agent who does more research on X, right? So I have some particular people I follow. So I've given their names and I'm like, hey, each morning search these people's content account. If they've created a new content, get it for me, right? So that become an idea. Because I'm the ideation stage.
Okay.
Then after the ideation stage, another agent will pick it up and create a plan for me for the whole week, right? And another agent will also pick it up from there and create the content in my own voice. Not just a generic one, but in my voice, right? So you see, these are all different agents working together, hand in hand, without me necessarily directing them, hey, do this, hey, do that. They've been giving the instructions.
More like separation of powers.
Exactly, okay. You know. So that's when the agentic AI agentic come in. They AI think, they reason, they do things on your behalf.
On your behalf.
Yes.
Right, and thank you so much. You've spoken about LLMs, you've spoken about generative AI, and you've also spoken about agentic AI, and that's a good information there for us to ponder over. Yeah. Rebecca, how is AI really shaping up in terms of our media space and content creation?
Okay, just as John said, I would like to see a generative AI as a type of artificial intelligence that helps you create new content, like such as text, images, visuals, or even computer coding based on user prompts, as he said.
Okay.
Now, it's just like a smart assistant that helps you to solve problems, to brainstorm, to create content, to create images and stuff like that. So the media is I'm happy that the media is actually leveraging on these new technologies to in their work. So most of the media organizations are using AI, as you said, for content ideation, for brainstorming, as you said, generating content, images for their stories that they post. Bloggers are using AI for captions, for image generation and stuff like that.
So thank you so much. Yeah. We'll come back to we want to take it one after the other. So
you don't want us to jump in.
Exactly.
We are enjoying the discussion. So we are going ahead of ourselves.
Step by step.
So now I want us to look at the tools.
Okay.
I want us to focus on generative AI and the tools that are at our disposal that we can easily make good use of.
Yeah.
Okay.
In terms of, you made mention of journalists making use of some tools.
Yeah.
I'll come back to you, and then you can fill us in on which tools are easily or at the disposal of journalists that they can make good use of in terms of editing, in terms of scripting, in terms of whatever task that they have to perform. But then, John, let me ask, I know we have a lot of AI tools, generative AI tools.
Yeah.
Which ones would you say the everyday Ghanaian can easily make good use of?
Yeah, I like the everyday Ghanaian because I will leave the media space to
Rebecca
to tackle that. So I'll go in for the regular Ghanaian guy, Ghanaian lady somewhere, right? Sure. So there are a couple of tools, right? So, and the thing is, you know, you have to know at which stage and which tool you have to use. I hope you get me. And I would say that AI is already shaping the content creation. Looking at LinkedIn, for instance, you know, now everybody is writing good content, right? You read it and it sounds like, this is a professional person, you know. Yeah. So that's AI for you, you know. It makes it look very wonderful, right? Yeah. So with the tools, looking at GPT, for instance, right? It's very good at generating, you know, text. But if you want your message to be more like a human form, you know, Claude is top-notch, right?
Right. So GPT for generating text, is it for text? When you say text, are you referring to normal write-ups or research, like?
Yeah, so it involves both, right?
Okay.
Because right now, they are, as I explained about the AI agent, because of that AI agent in there, it's able to do more research for you, right?
Okay.
It's able to go outside its knowledge base and do explore other platforms to get more research for you.
Right.
So if you are creating content, you run some research, right?
Right.
Yeah, so these systems can help you run an extensive research, right? Before you're able to create your content. But the thing is, you know, AI it hallucinates a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, it has some kind of energy, be like, even if it is wrong, it will, like, the energy to tell you it is right, you will believe, you understand. So in most cases, this research people who do research with AI, it can quote something, it can quote paper, which even never existed, right? So things like that, you need to be like, follow up, right? The first principle is don't accept the first message. That's the first principle.
Don't accept the first message.
The first response from the AI.
Okay.
You need to push back. So if you like, ask it, where did you get these citations, okay. right? Specify your, then it will tell you, oh, I generated it, I didn't know, right?
Right. Rebecca, I'll be coming to you shortly, but speaking about responses and not accepting the first response, I think it brings us to prompt engineering.
Yes.
Because if I don't know how to prompt or write whatever information, I read something that says intelligence triggers intelligence. So whatever
garbage in, garbage out.
So
that's AI for you.
So maybe we'll come back to prompt engineering, but then let me go to Rebecca. So I want us to also focus on journalists in our aspect. Which tools can they make use of? Because now, immediately the news breaks, it's already on social media. We are not waiting for news at 7 before we get to hear those news. So how quickly can they make or leverage on some of these AI tools to make their work even more improved and efficient?
Okay, so I'll put it into four categories, okay? So we have the content creation and brainstorming AI tools that they can use, like John mentioned. They can leverage on ChatGPT, Gemini AI, Claude, Perplexity, Notebook LM, that actually helps you to summarize large data set or content, or if you have any documents you want to make fast summary of, you can just give it away and summarize it for you. Now, if you want to do create image as a journalist, there are also content AI apps that you can use to generate image. I mean, we have a lot of them, but what works for you, okay? So the image, you can use Adobe Firefly is there. Canva is there for presentation, flyers. You can still even use the ChatGPT, the Gemini AI that we use for image generation.
GPT image generation is super.
Exactly. Now, when it comes to reverse image search or verification, which is the most important thing that, I mean, we are interested in as MIL advocates, okay? Verification in everyday thing that we are advocating for. Now, if it comes to verification, there are tools that you can use as a journalist. I mean, to prioritize factual and credible reporting rather than being the first to publish and then later come back to say, oh, I didn't verify. I mean, we have this saying that false information goes viral than the credible information. So that it won't be too late for you. Journalists can leverage on Google image search. Google Lens is there. Teen Eye is there. Yandex is there. I mean, we have a number of them that you can use to run a quick image search to find out if this image is real, if it is old, or if it has been taken out of a different context to be used for the message or news that has been published out there. So there are lots of them that they can leverage on. So what works for them?
What works for you? I mean, just try explore. Explore the tools available at your disposal. And then which one works best for you.
The more you use them, the more you get to know, this is good for me.
This is good for you. And we'll come back to the ethics that guides the work they do and all of these tools that we are saying they should make use of. And John, let's talk about you. Prompt engineering, because you're like, usually we shouldn't take the we should question the first response,
right.
When we say prompt engineering, what exactly do we mean, and how sure are we that we are doing the right thing when it comes to using some of these generative AIs in terms of prompting?
Thank you very much. So you know, prompt engineering is on its own, it's a full course, you know. Yeah, you can study this for as a full course and get a certificate on it, right?
Okay.
Yes, because it's even a skill now. People are hiring for those who know how to prompt. So the whole thing is, you know, don't just go to AI and be like, oh, tell me this, what is that, right? You need to first give the AI a personality, right? So something like, maybe you are a professional this, you are someone with experience of this, right? So it means that you are creating a persona of whatever you are trying to do. So you are getting an expert in the area that you are trying to, if it's content, right?
True.
Yes. So let me use this use case, right? So I have a couple of content creation people, like people that I look up to, right? So I've created this .md file in my setup, right? So anytime there is an ideation, you know, it goes through ideation and the process like that. So these people, like, they will create their own content, right? Like, is it Hamonzi? You know Hamonzi?
Okay.
Yeah. So it creates the content in his voice. You understand? So that is one way of doing prompt, okay? So you give the purpose, right? And you need to give a scenario, right? You need to give a little bit of details about whatever you are doing, right?
Sure.
And give the context, right? Or the length, or how you want the message to be. If not, it's going to create a whole lot of things for you, right? So something like, oh, give me 3 paragraphs of this, give me 4 paragraphs of this, right? Or maybe summarize this for me, okay? Or you are this, so and so. Your task is this. You give it the task, right?
Okay.
And then the role, right? And then so with that, you get you won't get a generic response from the AI. You get a very something relating to, you feel like, oh, this, like, I wrote it, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. All right, so I get it very well. So you need to have a personality when interacting with some of these platforms. Yeah. And you also spoke about context and also purpose.
Yeah.
And so that would help us get a more nuanced
response from that.
I would let me just put you on the spot. So we know that flood is like now, the rains have started, and so a lot is going on.
Let's say
I want to come up with I want to know much more about flooding in Accra, right? How can I prompt properly? Just briefly. What should I write? How can I?
So who are the people in charge of flood and stuff? Who are the people who have the more research about flood? Is it NADMO, right?
NADMO.
So something like, hey, you are NADMO coordinator, some national coordinator, right? And this and this and this is maybe there has been some flood in Accra recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And we are trying to create a solution for it, right? So as a NADMO coordinator in Accra, right? That's, you are bringing the AI to Accra, Ghana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not going to use any knowledge base from America or something. It's coming home, right? So based on your research, or as a NADMO coordinator, how do you think we can solve this problem, right?
Okay.
And provide the solutions and give me the reasons why the solution you are giving me won't be possible. Okay. Well, the thing is, always we are looking at the good side of the agent response, right?
True.
And agents are too good that they don't want to hurt your feelings. You understand? They just want to make feel good, right? So that's why in most cases you'd be like, you just add some one line, be brutally honest with me, don't focus about how I feel, just give it to me, and you see the difference.
No, right. Thank you so much. That was a good one.
Okay.
Rebecca, so let's come back to our media people.
Okay.
We made mention of some of the tools that they can use.
Yeah.
How do we know as a journalist, you have some ethics that guides the kind of work we do.
Yeah.
How do we balance those ethics? How do we balance the 5 W's and H and all of that when using some of these tools?
Okay. So as you mentioned, they have ethics that guides their work.
Okay.
So let me talk about just 3 that they can focus on. So that is accuracy, transparency, and accountability.
Accuracy, transparency, and accountability.
Yes. If you use AI to create content, verify it. AI can help you create the content, but doesn't mean that it's factual.
Okay.
You need to take your time to humanize, to verify the content that you are putting out there.
Mm.
Now, transparency. Media organizations must be open to their audiences about the use of AI. If you use AI to generate content, let them know this is AI generated. If you use it for image generation, I mean, if possible, give it credit.
Yeah.
If you use it for video creation, give it credit, that would let the audience know that this video is AI generated. Now, accountability. AI can create content for you, or generate, doesn't mean that you don't take responsibility for posting false information. If you don't verify the information and you publish it and it turn out to be false, you need to be accountable for it, take responsibility for that content. So the fact that AI creates content does not make you escape from spreading, why you spread false information. Right. You should be accountable for whatever you put out there.
Right. And I mean, if you're a journalist out there and you are working or you are putting content out there, when it backfires, we are not going to look for ChatGPT
to be asking.
You are the one responsible.
So
it's just best that we do our possible best to verify and make sure we cross all the T's.
The sad thing is, some people, they just generate the content. Mm-hmm. They don't even read.
No.
They just copy paste. I've seen some, right?
Yeah.
Someone I was chatting, an old man, he built this AI something, and we were talking about it. And a simple question I asked this man generated a whole paragraph for me. I was like, what the fuck? Right? So even if you read the thing, you know this is too much. It's going, because AI will, as I said, it will try to impress you.
Some people are too lazy.
Yes, like. You see? So always you need to proofread and make sure, this is what I'm thinking out. Well, as we said, when it backfires, nobody's going to hold ChatGPT responsible.
And also to add that, we all have a tone of writing. We have a style of writing.
Yeah.
AI basically gives you a generic write-up. And so all you have to do is to be able to humanize it to sound like you.
Yeah.
Take your time to read. AI writes with lots of lines and, full stop, commas. Long dashes. Exactly. Sometimes it doesn't even pause. If you are reading AI-generated content, you can't even breathe before the full stop comes. You should be able to take your time and humanize the content to suit the tone of your house style, that you'll be able to, but don't just give it in the prompt. And as you said, garbage in, garbage out.
Yeah.
If you don't give it a good prompt, it's going to give you rubbish and you're going to publish that. So it's just a matter of taking time so that you don't, end up posting things or publishing things that later you find out that it's not even true.
Exactly.
Verification is very important in this whole process.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
With the tone that she mentioned, how to create something that looks more realistic, right?
Yeah.
Let me talk about a practical way of doing that. You know, in every instance, you start a new session, right?
Yeah.
You start a new chat and no knowledge about the whatever you are doing.
Yeah.
So the best thing you can do is those who use Claude and those who use ChatGPT, you can create a project. We call something project in there on your left the sidebar. You create a project and you create something like the description. You add more details about you, or maybe this is how I talk, right? I am bold, founder level.
Yeah.
So don't use any that thing,
the dash.
don't use this in my text.
Yeah.
So you give more context
sound
about you.
Yeah.
You sound professional, right?
Okay.
Maybe when it's a LinkedIn post, write it for LinkedIn ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Don't write beyond this type of length, right?
Yeah.
So when you do that, and anytime you are doing something, you go in that project and you give it a prompt. You've created something called system prompt for your agent.
Mm.
So the agent is for you. It's not the generic one. Now you've trained it to you. So whatever it's creating for you is very tailored.
Yeah.
It's tailored. Okay.
It's hardly for someone to know you even generated with AI.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you do that with the free to use?
Free tools. Okay. Yeah. So just the normal ones you use. Oh. You just create that. And then even if you have some documents about you, you can just upload. You have files, you can upload them, right? Maybe you have some previous posts that you've done before the AI age, you can upload them and you get very solid content, right? Yeah,
that's it.
You love it, so you read it and you feel like,
this is me,
this is me, this is me. And someone will read and a person will love it,
Right. Thank you so much for that information. This is still Pen Plus Bytes, MIO Knowledge Hub podcast, and we are unpacking how we can make use of AI in media and content creation. Still under content creation, John, let me ask, now we all want to create videos, we want to create flyers, we want to, like, we all have become part of the content creation space. What are some of the tools people can use? Say they want to market a product, they want to maybe document their lifestyle. What are some of the tools, like readily available tools, they can make use of?
So thank you very much. This is very important, right? So recently, personally, I built this CRM system, a lead generation system, and I was trying to CRM, like customer relation management. So CRM system, it's a platform that it gets customers for you and qualify them, create a tailored email, send it on your behalf, right, without you doing anything. So it's fully agentic, right? Yes, and I was looking at how to create videos about, actually, I am very lazy about content creation, editing, you know. I don't like sitting, doing content, creating, it sucks for me, right? My own is Let's Build, right?
Okay.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, then who am I? AI engineer. And now AI is doing everything, so let me check it out, right? And I found this Remotion, right? So Remotion and Claude, okay? And it does something powerful, right? So combining this Remotion and Claude, right, you will be able to create a very nice product videos for whatever you are doing. If it is software, if it's something you sell, right? And if you need a voiceover, you can even, so if you give the prompt, right, it gives you, it generates the videos for you and gets you a prompt for the voiceover. And you move into 11 Labs, right? You go to 11 Labs, hey, you give it the voiceover, and it creates the voice for you. So after that, you use your tool, CapCut, right? So you use CapCut to join, to do your merge. And at the end of the day, you have a very nice video, right? There are so many ways you can do this. Runaway is there, right? Sometimes you use Claude, I'm using Runaway, I have this product, do this for me, and it gives you all the prompts like that, you know?
Right.
Yeah, and one thing is people always want to, like, generate 1 minute video instant, right? It doesn't make it more professional with AI, you know, because it consumes a lot of token during that, you know? So the thing is you break it into pieces, the same idea as the movies. You know, they don't just create everything at a go, they do it pieces and then they merge them. So maybe 60 seconds, you do this Runaway to create something nice for you, right? And at the end of the day, you sit and you just put them together and you have a very nice video that you can post on your socials.
Can you repeat the name of the tools again?
So you can use Remotion and Claude, right?
Right, I think it's a powerful tool that we can leverage on, especially for businesses out there. Remotion and Claude, just combine that and you'll be able to produce powerful videos and flyers for your products and your businesses. Speaking about all the positives, I know we can't talk about AI without also talking about the biases, the disinformation,
very important.
True. So Rebecca, you are aware that sometimes AI does not get it right always. I mean, most of the time, you have to check, double check, and all of that. How do we navigate leveraging on it, and also the issue of mass disinformation?
Okay.
Briefly.
So I think most of the time people say AI is a double-edged sword.
Okay.
It's both positive and negative. Just like you said, we've talked about the positive side. Thank you, to help you and kill you. So AI can help do everything we mentioned, but it can still also spread misinformation, which sometimes is how people create fake pictures and videos and audios, which you call deepfake. Deepfake is basically AI-generated content that makes people appear to say things or do things that they never actually did or say. It sounds so real. And some people intentionally create these images, these videos, and these audios to misinform the public. I think this deepfake basically happens, mostly happens during elections.
Yeah.
I mean, 2024, you see Dr. Bahamudu Bawumia's video where he was working like a drunkard.
Mm-hmm.
You see Esiedu Nkezia talking about free SHS that went viral. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are AI-generated contents, which means that we need to prioritize verification. When you see any video, any image, pause. Don't be in a rush to spread it. Pause. Think. Analyze the content and verify using the apps that I mentioned. Google Lens is there. Google Image. Yandex. Just upload the images, the videos, and ask it whether this is AI generated or it is real. And it's going to tell you when it was generated, the first person to post it and everything like that. And the next thing is also privacy issues. The risk of us uploading our content, images, documents on AI and not knowing how these images we upload are actually stored or used, the intended use, is that how it's useful?
Yeah.
So when you are uploading your private photos, your private documents, your audios, you should be careful. You should make sure that, or read about the AI app you are using. How are these documents being stored? How are they going? Will it go against you in the future or what? We should be concerned about these things as well. Also, the next thing is over-reliance on AI. People tend to trust AI so much that they don't even verify what the content it gives.
Yeah.
Especially research. I mean, AI can exaggerate and create citations for you that you will search for it and you won't get it. So let's not rely on AI. Let's try to verify content, verify sources before we post it. And these are the few things I can say about
thank you so much. It's true. Even as humans, we have our limitations.
Exactly.
How much more tools created by humans with limitations. It just speaks to the fact that...
So I just wanted to also add that AI is there to support our thinking, not to do the thinking for us.
Exactly.
Let's make it support it.
Exactly. AI is there to support our thinking, not to do the thinking for us.
So let me also clarify this, okay? You know, there are a lot of people also who are very much afraid that AI is going to replace them.
Mm-hmm.
We have a AI training coming up 12th and 13th June, full training for people, right? Businesses and students and everybody. And I made a post on Facebook and someone was like, a comment is, it was like, even if you learn AI, AI will still replace you. And I was like, so why don't you become that person who uses the AI? Okay, because AI on its own cannot operate without human being part,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
Definitely, it's going to mess up. So there should be someone regulating, managing, creating. So why don't you position yourself like that, okay? Learn the AI. You know how to use it in whatever you are doing, right? There are a lot of professions around. So whatever you are doing, AI, if AI can be applied over there, then you should position yourself that if it comes to replace me, then by the time it comes, then I'm there. I'll be the one to use
to
the AI.
Use the
you
AI.
Understand?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And touch on the privacy thing.
Yeah.
It's a concern, right? Because whatever you upload, it's going up there. They have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are using your data to retrain the models, okay? So that's why most developers now create their own agent that runs on local machine, like me, for instance. Everything runs on my local machine. I have all my data on my local machine. So Claude is not getting it to train the AI. So it's very important to take note of whatever you upload out there, okay? Every serious thing you think, oh, this is very vital to me, please, please, don't do it. You know, people will even upload their bank account number, their password, everything. So the thing, if you want to upload, you can, if it's a bank account number, or you do it and then in between you just cut and do dot, 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 or star, right?
Yeah.
Or password, you can. Why would you even feed your everything to the
I mean,
it's a concern.
Much concern.
True.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you so much. Let me pick your final thoughts or your final statements. Do you have anything you would want to leave the audience with?
Okay. So I would like to say that, as we kept saying, that AI is a support tool, not a human thinking replacement. It's not coming to replace our thinking. And also, we need to learn to verify before we share. I mean, I keep saying verify. Everything you see, verify it before you share. The last thing is that the future belongs to those that can be able to use AI responsibly and critically. You can't do it. You can't say, I don't want to do AI. I don't want to use AI. I mean, you should be able to use it. The simple advice I'll give is that learn AI.
You join us use or we AI. Leave you behind.
Thank you. Learn it. Use it. Exactly, but don't let it replace your thinking.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Thank you so much. Don't let it replace your thinking.
Exactly.
Right. John, do you have any final words for us?
So for me, as an AI engineer, I'm always advocating for AI, right?
Sure.
And in the right direction. And also trying to motivate or ensure Ghanaians that this has come to stay, whether we like it or yes, it's going in nowhere, right? You will hear CEO of NVIDIA saying that AI is the next operating system. Okay, if you understand operating system, you understand this is serious, right? And you will hear Andrew saying that AI is the next electricity. Can you think of that? Electricity
is going right to power
now,
almost everything.
Exactly. Yeah. And NVIDIA has even created this, as he said, that AI could become the next operating system. He has done it. He just launched a laptop, a machine being run on AI, fully AI agentic, right?
Right.
So for me, there's nothing you can do about it. It is here. So the best thing is position yourself, right? Be ready for it. Learn the tools. Whatever you are doing, learn it. Because trust me, people don't know how AI can affect their work. I know. That's why in most cases, people, they will book you, they will take you through their workflow, and then you will be able to point them, this is where AI will work. They don't have any idea. If they have the idea of how AI is working now, they will rush to learn whatever they have to learn. Right?
Right.
Yeah, so don't wait for it to come and take over your job, okay? For me, I'm creating the tools to replace a lot of people. Don't be one.
Right.
Thank you.
Just make sure that even if you are making good use of AI, it doesn't take your job away, but then you leverage on it to do your work even much better, faster, efficiency and all of that.
Yeah.
Right. It's been an amazing time here as we unpacked all that we need to know about AI in media and content creation. I was joined by John, who is an AI engineer with Anansi Lab, and Rebecca. Rebecca is a researcher and an MIL expert with Pen Plus Byte, and of course I am the host Manuel. I am the host Manuel with Pen Plus Byte also. Let me say thank you to DW Academy and the German Corporation for continuously being a part of this journey and helping us build the competences of young people. Make sure to follow us on all our social media platforms at Pen Plus Byte, and on YouTube also is Pen Plus Byte. Give us a like, subscribe, follow, comment, and who knows, I will be giving you some of these souvenirs. Until then, goodbye.